Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We are so glad you are here. We highly recommend checking out episode one, and that's where we talk about Story Night and its history, its vision, and its purpose. Now, some of you have been following along for quite a while, and you already know this is a spot where women are sharing all different types of stories, just to be real with each other. And we have stories that are very lighthearted. We have stories that are very heavy, but they're all shared with the purpose of encouraging each other, building relationships, and just being real. My guest for this episode is a very new friend, Jennifer, and I'm so excited. For those of you who have followed for a while, you know that so many women on this podcast have gotten connected with Story Night through the McMinnville Chamber of Commerce. And Jennifer is one of those. And one of the other ladies there told me, you have to get her and her story on the podcast. So thank you, Jennifer, for being willing to do this. I know that was probably a really random message when I first reached out to you, but you said yes. And as we might learn through this recording, it sounds like it was a blessing for you to go back.
Absolutely.
And do this.
Absolutely, Jess. Thank you for inviting me first and foremost. And going through this entire process of preparing for this podcast, it reminded me as to why I started Grace Craze in the first place.
We're going to start with your life today, and I'm going to ask you to briefly introduce yourself to the listeners with your life and what you're doing with Grace Craze. And then we're going to rewind the tape, go back to the beginning, and follow a pretty surprising journey as to how you landed where you are today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm Jennifer Richter. I'm the owner of Grace Craze Charcuterie Boards and Boxes out here in McMinnville. I've been married for 26 years. We celebrated our 26th anniversary on September 11th. So it is a very special day for us, but also a memorable day for the world. So we just celebrated 26 years. Thank you. My husband, Wayne, and I have three children. They're all adults. We're empty nesters. Two live here in Oregon, one in Eugene and one in Portland. And the middle child lives back in California.
Well, we're so glad you landed in McMinnville.
Thank you.
That's part of the story. So there's so much we want to learn about how you met your husband, this wonderful marriage, building your family. But there's really this whole thread of a career path.
Absolutely.
And how you maybe reprioritized a few things. So ladies, get ready. We're going to start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And would you start with where you were born and a little bit of your childhood and
we'll
go from there?
Absolutely. So I was born in the Philippines and my parents migrated here when I was 3 years old. So really, I grew up in the United States and we landed in the Bay Area, specifically San Jose, California. I grew up in San Jose, went to school there. I went through elementary, high school, even college. And I met my husband in San Jose. At that time, I was putting myself through school, going to school at night and working during the day. And I landed a job in tech.
Now, before we go into your career path and building your family, I was just curious, did you have any strong roots with your Filipino culture? Did you go back and visit much? How much was that part of your life?
Yeah, so no, I didn't visit at all. After I came here and established roots, English was really my first language.
I mean, you were 3 years old.
I was 3 years old, absolutely.
It wasn't really a culture shock for you at that age.
Absolutely. Right. And my parents, my mother was a teacher in the Philippines, and she learned how to speak English because she taught English in the Philippines. So when we came to the United States, she spoke to us in English. So I didn't really learn the language because in our home, English was spoken. Yeah. And my mother made that decision because she wanted to make sure that we were blending with our new culture,
yeah,
right here in America. And so I really did not learn the language or have the opportunity, but I was brought up with the culture, the food, you know, the family values, the close-knit family type of thing. So I grew up with those values, maybe not the language, but the culture.
Yeah. So we want to hear about how you and your husband launched your lives together and your career and built your family. But as I understand, there's a chapter that happened before, because you were actually married before you met your husband. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. I married my high school sweetheart right out of high school, hence why I was going to school part-time. College was very important to me from the get-go. And so getting married at a young age did not stop me from pursuing my education. So I got married because he joined the military, and I wanted to pursue my life with him after high school. And so we moved as a couple, a married couple, newly married couple, to Southern California, where he was stationed. And from there, I was going to school part-time, pursuing my degree. During our 6 years of marriage, we had two children, Anthony and Jessica. And then the war happened. This was the Gulf War.
Okay. I was just going to say, let's put a timestamp on this, because somebody might be listening to this podcast the day we publish it. Somebody else might listen to this podcast, who knows, 10 years down the line. So what year was this? And maybe if you can give just 1 minute of an overview of the Gulf War, just in case somebody's a little rough on their history.
So this was probably 1988-89 timeframe. We went to war. He joined the Marine Corps. And his job in the Marine Corps was activating mines out in the minefields. And when the war started, they needed these Marines to go out there and detect the minefields in the sand. And he was one of those folks who, you know, risked their lives every day detonating those mines so that the military tanks can come through and get to the villages where they needed to help the Middle Eastern families trapped in villages. When the Gulf War subsided and he came back to the United States, unfortunately, PTSD was not an illness that the military tracked or was on their radar. And he came home with PTSD. And we were just too young to know about mental health and what was going on with him at that time. So the marriage didn't last. We were married for 6 years, but we had two beautiful children out of that marriage. But now that I'm older and realize what PTSD was, I look back to that life and realized, wow, that's what was really going on. Sitting in the corner of a dark room was PTSD. Watching our child sleep in the crib in the dark was PTSD. And having panic attacks was PTSD. And then it eventually resolved to alcohol. And that's PTSD. For a man who's never abused alcohol before and then come home and abuse alcohol, something changed, severely changed. And because we were so young, we didn't know what was happening. We had no idea. We received no help from the military. So the marriage fizzled.
How old were you and the kids when you ended up becoming a single mom?
I was in my early 20s. it was that moment, knowing that I was going to be a single mother, that I had to make sure that I can provide for my children. And that motivated me even more to finish my education.
Because they would have been, I mean, just doing the math, they would have been little.
You know, absolutely.
Toddlers.
Toddlers. Jessica was just 6 months old when we separated. And Anthony was about a year. So very young.
This episode is your story, right? But our stories intersect with so many other stories. And certainly your ex-husband has a story, right? And that's his story to tell. But before moving on, I'm just curious, did he ever get the help he needed for mental health?
He did. But it was years and years later that he finally realized. And now he's happy with his own family. He's been married. Mm-hmm. They had a son together. And so we closed our chapter and began new chapters.
Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that there was some help and healing down the line for him, and that you both now, it sounds like, are in healthy and happy spots. And that does lead us to you circling back now to meeting your husband.
Right.
And so you had two little ones when you met.
Yes.
And you were working and school. And that, I mean, that's all kinds of things all happening at once.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So at this point, Jessica is now about 4 years old. And Anthony, 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm working at a small tech company in Santa Clara, California, not too far from San Jose. It was a small little startup company. Mm-hmm. There was only, I think I was employee number 13 at that point in time. I was still going to school part-time. And, you know, when you're working full-time and going to school part-time, it feels like school is taking forever. But again, it was so important to me to finish my education. And whatever I had to do to finish, I did it. So at that point in my life, I was working in tech, in customer service. And I was assigned to a product line where they needed an engineer, they wanted an engineer that they can mold and grow and things like that. So the company looked at the local university, San Jose State University, and they found my husband, Wayne, who was looking for an internship during his senior year of college. They hired him. And we were friends for a couple of years before we started dating. And then it's been a fairy tale ever since. Wayne really embraced my two children. He knew that he was going to be a big part of my children's lives, to the point that, you know, he literally raised Anthony and Jessica from very young ages. And so he's dad to them. My ex-husband went off and he started his own family. He started a new chapter. We were starting a new chapter. And Wayne really became dad to Anthony and Jessica. At the moment that we married, Anthony and Jessica was also in the wedding ceremony. And they were married into, you know, his life as well. So they were part of the ceremony, not just ring bearer and bridesmaid. They had vows and, you know, we gave them rings. And so they were absolutely part of that ceremony, because we were all, the three of us, or the four of us, excuse me, we were marrying each other, you know.
That's such a beautiful way to blend a family. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody doing that you would have vows and rings for the kids too. That's precious.
Absolutely. You know, we felt that was very important. So even today, they call him dad. He's dad. You know?
Now, you said you have three children.
We do.
So there's another one that comes along.
There is another one that comes along. So after 2 years of marriage, Carissa came along. Carissa definitely has that engineering mindset. So she just graduated from the University of Portland with her mechanical engineering degree in December. She works as a mechanical engineer in Tualatin. She stayed here in Oregon, and Anthony lives in Eugene, and both Anthony and Jessica took the leadership track, and so they're both in leadership. So we're empty nesters. It's the best time to be an empty nester, I think, because it allows me to focus on the business. Mm-hmm. And then it gives Wayne and I also time for, you know, just the two of us.
Yes. So special.
Yes.
When you were first married and you knew you were going to start your lives, were you thinking you'd always be in California? Were you thinking?
No, we knew that California was not our place to retire. We knew that it was just too expensive to retire in California. We planned to raise our children in California, but we never planned to stay mm-hmm. in California. And it wasn't until Carissa was graduating from, you know, high school and looking at different college opportunities that took us here to Oregon.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity to do a college tour. She was accepted to several Oregon colleges. And we did this tour of Oregon. We landed in Portland. We started in Portland. And then when we drove down to Corvallis to OSU. Mm-hmm. And from OSU, we kept driving south and we went up to Klamath to Oregon Tech. And then we went over the mountains back into Portland, where we visited University of Portland. We said, wow, what a gorgeous state this is. And we just fell in love with Oregon.
Now, how long have you been in Oregon? What year did you move here?
So we bought our property at the end of 2020, but we didn't physically move here full time until 2023.
So you've been here not too long, just a couple of years at the time of this recording.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna take us back to right after your marriage, because we have a career path to go on.
Yes.
And it's going to, I think, surprise some listeners, right?
Yes.
So would you tell us your career story?
Sure. Absolutely. So as I was saying earlier, in my mid-20s, I landed a job in tech. And I basically climbed the corporate ladder from customer service into sales. I had a path in sales all the way up to leadership. Mm-hmm. So I'll just kind of take you back. I spent over 30 years in the tech industry. During this time, I finally got my degree. I have a degree in business management. And I used that degree, you know, to basically take my career up to higher leadership levels. My last leadership was with a medical device company. I was the director of sales operations and commercial contracts for this company. I led a department of 6 departments and over 50 people within this organization.
You were just on track to keep climbing.
I was on track. Yes. I was on track to keep on growing, to keep on climbing. I had an opportunity to just keep taking my career, you know, forward.
But there was a turning point.
Yes.
A really big turning point that kind of changed the trajectory.
Yes.
Of your career.
Yes. So in 2020, COVID hit. And it changed the world, right? It also changed how corporate looked at remote work or working from home. And the company that I was working for at that time reassessed how that looked for the company. It allowed me to be able to shift from working at a corporate office to working from home. And it was the same scenario with my husband. He also had the opportunity to work from home. And so we made the decision of, well, we loved the state of Oregon. There's, you know, really nothing keeping us here in California. We always knew that California was not our forever home. And so we found 25 acres in Sheridan, Oregon, and we said, you know, let's just buy the property now that we can afford it, and we'll sit on it for a couple of years or, you know, a few years. until we're ready to do something with it. Mm-hmm. But we were driving back and forth from California to Oregon to California during this time. And we just kept coming back to Oregon and saying, wow, let's just pull the trigger and start building our dream home here in Oregon. And then something tragic happened. I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And I really didn't have any bad symptoms. I had a few tummy aches that I was like, you know, what is this? I went to my doctor and they said, well, it's, you know, probably gastral issues. Let's try these remedies. But it wasn't until I had my first colonoscopy. My doctor said, you know, you're about that age to have a colonoscopy. Let's do a colonoscopy. Because I worked in the medical device industry, I searched for a doctor that knew how to do these procedures, very minimally invasive. So I had the colonoscopy done. They found the cancer. They sent me to a surgeon. I wanted a surgeon who would perform this minimally invasive. So he used a robotic surgery to remove 13 inches of my colon. It was supposed to be a 4-hour procedure. The procedure turned into 8 hours because this surgeon literally saved my life. Once he was in there, he knew the cancer had spread. He knew that it went into my lymph nodes. And so the procedure was supposed to remove 13 inches of my large intestine. And he was supposed to take 12 lymph nodes to biopsy. But he saw that the cancer had spread. So he went from 12 lymph nodes to 32 lymph nodes. Wow. 8 hours of surgery. And he was able to cut out all of the cancer surrounding the large intestine where the cancer was located. But that wasn't it. I still had to go through 6 months of intensive chemotherapy. So once the cancer was removed, I started chemotherapy in January of 2022. And my thought was, because I'm so strong-minded, my thought was, I can't abandon my team. You know, I have such this strong work ethic that said, you know, my team is short-staffed. I can't abandon over 50 people. I need to continue to work. And my doctors warned me, you know, you're going to have these side effects. Be aware of them, fatigue, mental issues with brain fog and so forth. And I'm telling you, Jessica, cancer brain fog is not a joke. I suffered from severe mental brain fog to the point that you and I could be having a conversation and I would need you to repeat the conversation to me again so that I can at least capture 30% of the conversation. I was determined that I was going to continue to work while I received chemotherapy. But that just wasn't reality. I needed to stop and focus on my health and my recovery. So after 4 months, I finally went on medical leave. The chemo was pretty intense. It was a 4-week cycle. The first 3 weeks was chemotherapy every day.
For 3 weeks.
Every day. And then I get 1 week off and then I would start again. The cycle.
Wow, that's one of the most intense I've ever heard of.
It was very, very, very intense. And what they were doing was killing off the cancer cells all over my body. And it was really tiring and mentally exhausting. But after the 4th month, I decided, okay, it's time to go on medical leave. And so I took the time. It was July that I finished chemotherapy. We finally said, okay, let's let's go to Oregon. Because the thought of us moving to Oregon was my motivation to beat this disease.
Yeah.
I'm not only doing it for my family, but a new beginning, a new journey. And I had to, you know, overcome cancer to get here. This was my happy place. Oregon was my happy place. This is where I had to be. So we made the move to Oregon in July, and that was 2022. The house did not finish until October of that year. We finally moved in, and I was looking for a cancer facility for my ongoing care, because once you have cancer, it's ongoing, basically for the rest of your life. So I found the Willamette Valley Cancer Center in McMinnville, and I found Dr. O'Brien, who is a fantastic oncologist. And when I first met Dr. O'Brien, we wanted to develop a baseline. Where are you? And she said, let's do a CT scan of your entire body. And when we received the results of that scan, we found a second cancer unrelated to the first. So in reality, that first time, I was fighting two different cancers. We found a cancerous tumor on my L1 vertebrae during that scan, which set me back again because I just went back to work. I had to do months of radiation therapy. I immediately took leave at that point in time. You know, during the time where I was on leave again for another 4 months, I started to really reevaluate, you know.
Life,
yeah. Absolutely. What was important to me was climbing the corporate ladder more important to me than family. And then discovering this community and this area, you know, what was more important. And I started to really look at my life, look at my family, and ask myself, what do you want? What's more important to you? Family and community, or climbing that corporate ladder? So I transitioned. I left the corporate world, and I still have to work. I still need an income. But what can I do with my previous expertise in customer service, in building relationships, in business, and, you know, and working with people? What can I do to still use those skill sets, but still be able to enjoy time with my family and be with the community? And so I started looking at franchising, because I've never started a business on my own before. And I needed that help. So I found Grace Craze, because I thought, wow, what a wonderful concept to bring to McMinnville and this area into wine country, is a charcuterie company that complements the livelihood of our community, which is, you know, the wine country. So I found myself with Grace Craze, and it's been an absolute wonderful journey. Because it's a franchise that allows me to still be a small business owner in a small community, and allows me to obtain that support, that business support that I need, but to run the company the way I want to run the company. And it's been a great relationship between myself and Grace Craze.
Amazing.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
And there's so many different follow-up questions, but in our final remaining time, first of all, I just want to ask how your health is today.
As of today, I am 100% cancer-free. Thank you.
What an answered prayer. I'm so glad to hear
that. Yeah.
And it sounds like you have an amazing medical team that keeps an eye on you and checks on all of that. You have your dream home now on 25 acres.
Yes.
A whole new beginning with this business that you've been able to bring to the community. And it sounds like that has really maybe shifted some of the life balance of work and family and community.
Absolutely. It taught me one good lesson in life, and that is it's never too late to reinvent yourself. It's never too late. And yes, it took this illness to reinvent myself, but perhaps that's what God wanted, you know, was to help me step back and really reevaluate what's the most important thing in my life, to reinvent myself into a different employment journey is amazing, because I never thought that I would be a business owner in the hospitality industry. I never thought that would be possible. But because my passion with working with people and the customer service and, you know, that brings people together like Gray's Craze and our charcuterie does, is joy. It really is pure joy. If you ask me, do you miss corporate tech? No, I don't. Because look at what I'm doing. I have a community behind me that loves what we do. And that's the best feeling ever.
You know, as you're sitting here just glowing, I know listeners can't see you, but just see the sparkle in your eye and the smile on your face, and thinking of just where we started at the beginning of this episode with your Filipino culture and that the values of family and food and community, and look at where your journey took you.
Right.
All the way back to that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very, very happy. And you know, thank God that I have great doctors and, you know, a great medical team that's taking great care of me. And how blessed is this that I find a location in Oregon, a community in Oregon that has, you know, great doctors, a great community support, and just that blessing alone reconfirms that we made the right decision to move to this area.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, as we close up, are there any words of encouragement that you would want to give some other women who have related to your story in some way?
So as I reflect on my professional journey from sales operations and contracts to building charcuterie board, I want to remind our listeners, if you're determined to reinvent yourself, you can do it. With hard work, just, you know, keep moving towards your goals. You can do anything.
You're such a good example of that.
Thank you.
It's such a joy to sit here and hear your story and watch how the turns took you to where you are today. I just love the message you have for women. It's so important. We can get so caught on one path and feel stuck. Some women might even feel trapped, or that it's just impossible to change. And you're such an example that says
Thank you.
Can. You really, really can.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, ladies listening, for those of you who are new to Story Night, in addition to this podcast, we have 4 live events each year. And these are opportunities for you to come together as a community with over 200 women, have some snacks, enjoy some time together, build relationships, meet new friends, and hear one woman share her life story up on a stage. And sometimes we'll have a little music and a dessert social after. These are just beautiful evenings, and we would love to invite you because you could meet Jennifer in person. Our next one is coming up on Thursday, October 2nd. Now, we have technically sold out of our free tickets. However, it's still worth going on our website, storynighthope.com, because often there's last minute cancellations. And so just click on our website link and you will likely be able to get a ticket and join us. We would love to have you there. Now, normally we record these stories of our live events, and then you can watch them on our YouTube channel or hear the audio version on this podcast later on. However, this particular story is not going to be recorded. Our speaker is a survivor of sexual and domestic violence, and due to some of the specific details of her story. We are not going to be putting it out anywhere online. And so if you want to hear this very powerful and inspirational story of how a community came around this woman to help her get out of abuse, then you need to join us in person. And we would love to have you there. Again, it's Thursday, October 2nd, and the doors open at 6:30. The story begins at 7, and this will be at the Grand Ballroom, downtown McMinnville. Now, if you happen to be listening to this story after the event has passed, after October 2nd, 2025, we still encourage you to go on our website, because tickets for our next event will be available on the website, and you can grab your ticket for that one. I want to take a moment also to thank our state representative, Lucetta Elmer. She is the one providing the platform for this season of Story Night. She was a Story Night speaker herself and believes strongly in the power of telling our stories and building relationships. And I want to thank you, Jennifer, for taking time to do this, for answering my message and being willing to go back through your life and write things out and share it in this way. It was so beautiful.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Ladies, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We hope you were blessed. We hope you were encouraged. And we hope you join us next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story. Your story matters, and you are not alone.